SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast was produced on the lands of the Jarjawarong. We pay our respects to elders past and present and express our gratitude for their care of this country and extend that respect to all First Nations people listening.
We did some work a few years ago trying to understand what people's environmental concerns were from living in this area, and you couldn't actually mention climate change.
Because it's always nice and sunny and fresh. As long as it's like that, I'm happy. But no, I haven't thought about it more deeply in a scientific way.
But talking more broadly about environmental concerns, I've realised that there's a lot of people that were very worried about climate change and what that meant for our community.
It's easy to blame sceptics for holding up action on climate, but they only make up 5% of the population. So really, it's everyone else we need to worry about.
It's a bit hard when you are popped up with these intellectual questions.
I'm Kyla Brettle and you're listening to Everything We Need, a climate podcast about making change in our lives for the better. With stories about people who are not just reacting to the effects of climate change, but tackling them head on and rethinking what we all need to thrive, now and into the future.
There's been a shift in the debate from an out denial of climate change being a thing that we need to concern ourselves with or it's not happening, to an acknowledgement that yes, it is happening. But people talk about climate denial happening on different levels as well, right? So, and in a sense, if we carry on our lives business as usual, then we're all complicit in a type of denial.
Like the old argument that silence is acquiescence.
Exactly, yeah. Carrying on the same is as bad as not doing anything, right? It's an active choice not to make that change.
Ben Newell, Professor of Cognitive Psychology at the University of New South Wales, speaking with me at the 2023 Climate Adaptation Conference in Adelaide. We've spent so long arguing and researching and verifying the climate crisis that whatever time we had to stop it has kind of evaporated. So the debate has shifted to include how we learn to live with this or adapt. You might think that dealing with a problem that's here and now is easier than dealing with a future theoretical problem, but it doesn't necessarily follow. So how do you get a small country town to adapt to the changing climate when no one wants to talk about it? This is something Amy Atkinson has thought about a lot.
Hello, Mal. How are you?
I'm good. Could I get some teaspoons, please?
Yes. I'll just go and get them.
Amy loves making lists and is the coordinator of the Malden Neighbourhood Centre, a local not-for-profit that's a hub of activity from running markets,
a community garden,
playgroups,
drop-in internet cafe,
and even bus tours.
We've got a wine appreciation tour heading off into the Pyrenees wine region next week, and then an op shop tour in another couple of weeks. It's really localised. It's about place and it's about bringing people together.
When I first came here, it was nearly Easter, and I woke up on Easter Sunday and someone had tied a hot cross bun onto my front door to welcome me to the town. So that's what it's like.
Malden is an historic gold mining town that's known for its picturesque streetscape. It's on Jarra country, about an hour and a half drive north of Melbourne. I meet up with Amy at the weekly community lunch.
I'm just going to be help serving.
What's the main course again?
Main course spaghetti bolognese with garlic bread.
Yum.
And have I talked you into it yet?
Oh, where's my $5?
Right, enjoy your meal.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
How generous with the sauce? Oh,
no, that'll be good. Thank you.
Were you in the men's shed last night?
Because the median age is older, there's a lot of retired people, so it's sort of a bit bustly, you know, in the daytime. There's people out and about. The night maybe is slightly different.
different story. Everyone's tucked up in bed.
It's almost like an unofficial retirement village, but forgive me for saying that because not everyone would warm to that.
It is actually a very vibrant community and is distinguished by having 80-plus community groups. So massively involved and active community.
Before I blinked, I was signed up to the garden club. I decided I wanted to play canasta, so we set up a canasta game in the community centre.
Amongst all this busyness and activity, Amy's aware of something no one else is really thinking about or dealing with: how climate change is affecting Malden. The hotter, drier weather, the heat waves and more bushfires.
We all need to be ramping up our response. So I guess our response wasn't about a big push from the community to be taking action. It was more we wanted to push the community into be thinking about what action they should be taking.
So Amy and the Neighbourhood Centre start a project called Climate Ready Malden.
You know, one of the powers of neighbourhood houses more broadly is that we're grassroots organisations. We're activist organisations, really. We can make change in the community.
Do you have a story or a moment where it came together? Was it a bang?
I haven't got that at all. Maybe I woke up at 6 and went, oh, I should write a list. So the Climate Ready Malden started by looking at how we can help people respond to the changes that are coming. And part of that is around acknowledging that there's risk, and then that itself gets people thinking about going, what's caused it in the first place. So rather than starting from that point, it sort of leads people back to that point.
Climate Ready Malden gets the local community into climate adaptation by stealth. It sidesteps the debate around the causes of climate change and instead focuses on something ingrained in the Australian DNA, talking about the weather, and how this lovely little town in central Victoria gets sweaty and sticky and downright unpleasant in one of those hot, hot summers.
I've been out on a 45-degree day already. It was scary. Like, we got caught out without water. I was really glad I was able to call a neighbour.
It's easy to chat about the weather with Anna, Miranda and other parents hanging out with their kids at the Neighbourhood Centre playgroup.
I do worry about our neighbours, our elderly neighbours, and often we do check on them during the hotter months.
Heat stroke, dehydration, things like that. If it is consistently over 45, we'll all end up suffering.
Malden is surrounded by bushland, and something Amy in the Neighbourhood Centre want residents to talk more about is the likelihood of a bushfire.
People didn't necessarily have bushfire plans, even though we are currently in an extreme bushfire risk area.
I've looked at the predictions for the climate over the next 20 years and go, I'm actually a bit scared about that.
If a fire was to come through, even if you live in the centre of town, you're still at risk.
So where do you go on these horrific days that are really hot, with lots of wind? You don't feel safe driving in the roads. What do you do?
Accepted advice says you work this out before bushfire season by knowing your risk and making a bushfire survival plan. So Climate Ready Malden and the Country Fire Authority, or CFA for short, together ran workshops to get people thinking through the steps they'd need to take in an emergency.
So at the end, they would go away with maybe 75% of their plan done, and then they could ask questions on the spot going, oh, I'm thinking about my pets. What do you do with pets? Or, you know, what direction might fire really come from? And the CFA could really talk about their on-the-ground experience or what's happened previously. We followed up with another two workshops that were much more interactive, and the third one actually didn't even have a CFA member there. It was just the group nutting things out themselves and going, oh, what did you guys think about, like, where are you going to evacuate to? And, you know, like, really kind of, you know, it's locals helping each other, I suppose, to think these things through. We didn't get huge numbers, but it was really great to see the outcomes from those workshops.
The other thing Climate Ready Malden does is try to inspire the community to better prepare for heat waves. Our bodies don't deal with high temperatures well. Heat gets called a silent killer because it makes existing medical conditions worse. So during a heat wave, people are more likely to have heart attacks or a stroke, kidney failure, and it affects conditions like diabetes and high blood pressure. People also suicide, and there's more violence on hot days too. And those most vulnerable to heat are the elderly, pregnant women and young children.
And then understanding that people, you know, mainly are in their homes in the heat, that we wanted to focus on that for making a change. So along with our beautiful streetscape, we have lots of, you know, old miners' cottages, and they're incredibly leaky. They're designed to be temporary accommodation. They're designed for very short people. But there's, you know, so there's some real issues, I suppose, that were clear.
So Climate Ready Malden offers residents and homeowners free advice and a thermal assessment of their home from a local volunteer who's specially trained up in ways to make houses more comfortable and energy efficient.
My name's Anthony Murray, and I was approached to be one of the volunteers on this team of about eight. Probably out of the eight of us, we probably all did three or four assessments within Malden. Who wants to waste money on heating and cooling? So, you know, trying to help people stay more comfortable, generally speaking, less pressure on the environment in the end, yeah.
Hey, so, how are you going? Good, Andy.
Here we're at Andy's place is where I came to do an evaluation.
How was your summer?
Oh, yeah, pretty good. I survived.
You survived?
Yep.
Yeah. Was it as hot as other
stuff? And then going around and just basically having a casual chat with them and, you know, how are you, and a cup of tea and blah, blah, blah. And then going around looking at the house. So looking at the orientation of the house would tell you where the shade spots are and the cold spots and where the heat sinks are.
And so this is the west side of the house, isn't it?
Yeah, this is where you get the main heat in the summer.
So it could be a simple case of dropping shade cloth on the northwest side of the property, and they got a voucher as being part of this program, so they were able to kickstart any investment back into the house.
Well, how did you find that report I wrote?
It was good. It gave me lots of options to sort of start with and see that I could make a bit of a difference to the place without laying out too much money. I found it really helpful in that way. It was,
Did you feel like you learnt anything about climate change and the impacts on Malden through, you know, your participation in the program?
Well, yes, I suppose a little. I didn't realise exactly how vulnerable we can be to things like the fires and what impact basically the whole warming has on the you see a lot more of the trees dying off in the summer, and it's having a sort of destructive effect.
Later on, I meet up with Amy and her team of volunteers for their debrief session.
Gracias. Gather in the important places of town, the local pub.
But one of the main things I learned from the project is how hard it is to actually get onto the people who need to get this done.
Yeah.
And it is very much a matter of word of mouth to get the assessments done.
Yeah, to participate in the assessments.
Right, to get them to accept the fact that their houses are pretty.
But it's true. Like I had some.
You know, the people that certainly responded to this program were people who were proactive about being a little bit more on top of things. And I'm saying that just because the amount of people that responded to the program, even though Amy did a fair bit of promotion for it, she was a little bit surprised how many people actually responded. There's a bit of a hesitancy to be active around these sorts of things. It's sort of like there's a, perhaps, you know, we'll just cope with the hot days, we'll just cope with things the way they are. You know, change, I think anywhere is hard for anyone personally or communally or whatever it is. But then sometimes when you just offer the cake, people aren't eating it, and then that's something else.
Back at the playgroup, where 2-year-olds are waddling about with buckets of sand, I chat with mother of four, Anna Robertson. It's easy to talk about how we can change the future of the crisis, doing things like recycling and looking after the environment and switching to renewable energy. But it's not so easy to talk about how the crisis will impact our future.
What are your thoughts on how we become more resilient, how we actually adapt to what's coming?
Oh, gosh. I'm lost for words. I don't know where to go with this one. I'm sorry, Kyla. What do we do? It's hard. Yeah, it's a tricky question.
It is a tricky question, and this, and you do actually find that people don't talk about it all that much.
Yeah, I think you don't, and I think the Climate Change Malden group is a good step. I think that that's a great way to move forward. I do need to find out more about what the program is about myself. Yeah.
In the year that it ran, Climate Ready Malden managed to open the box and make a start on talking about climate change.
The groundwork of the partnerships and relationships takes a lot of time and actually is the scaffold that makes the project a success or not. But I think what has been really important is that local people are the solution. So the fact that it's all been based around empowering people in the community to make their own changes has that ripple-on effect. So the fact that we've got half a dozen trained volunteers now in the community, you know, understanding thermal comfort and those changes that can be made, that can kind of live on. Like if you're the volunteer and you've looked at someone's house and you meet them down the street, there's a conversation right there that's another link in the web. So it's not like a sort of spoken hub where we want everyone to be connected to the neighbourhood centre. We want people to be connected to one another. It's because of that resilience that comes from that, from knowing your neighbours, from knowing people in the community and feeling like you belong here really is so important.
Getting our heads around adapting to climate change is a bit of a process. But Amy's approach to getting people on board seems really smart. She puts the contentious stuff to one side and focuses on what we clearly agree on. And I like how she talks about it being something we can chip away at through lots of little actions that add up to a new normal over time. So big thank you to Amy Atkinson and everyone else you heard, Anna Robertson, Miranda Bone, Lindsay Glover, Anthony Morrie, Andy McGuinness and Ben Yule. In the next episode, I'm heading off to Maryborough, north of Ballarat, to see how they're preparing the next generation for a climate change future, even though we're not dealing with it so well ourselves.
I know some of my older children feel a bit worried about climate change, and they're not feeling confidence that perhaps the rest of us adults are doing enough. I certainly hear that from one of my older children.
Yes, and it's hard to know what to say when they say that, because they're right.
They are right.
Make a note to follow everything we need on SBS Audio or wherever you get your podcasts. Everything We Need is researched, recorded, edited and produced by me, Kyla Brettle, with Jane Curtis as story editor and production assistants and show notes. All the music you heard was by the talented Rob Law, with Uncle Paul Chapman playing Yiddikai, and production photography by Carmen Bunting. All of this brought to you by SBS Audio teams Caroline Gates and Joel Supple. This podcast is based on an earlier documentary series produced as part of the Victorian State Government's Climate Ready Plan for the Loddon Mallee region, with executive production from Donna Caetana. Thanks so much for your company. I'm Kyla Brettle. See you next time.